kids like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time and eternity.
Hi, God bless you. This is your friend and brother, Ferdinand. And we are still in the school of grace. Grace, God's marvelous, astonishing grace. The grace that is the basis for all of God's dealings with all creation. Remember, we have established in our studies that the grace of God is the foundation of all of his relationship with everything created. Nothing created has the capacity to subsist on merit in the presence of God. The grace of God extends over all of his creatures and over all of his works. How much more must human beings who, you know, have been now part of fallen creation and have been redeemed by grace, how much more must we all learn the protocols of grace and grow in grace so that we can maximize all that God has for us? And then we have established that grace makes it possible for us to reign in life because of the nature of grace. Grace is omnipotent benevolence, almighty kindness. And the more of God's kindness we receive, the less, you know, we will be stranded in any situation in life, because the kindness and the power of God will be revealed in that situation and will give us the victory. But then remember that grace, there is passive grace and there is active grace. And the grace we need to reign in life must be received. The Greek word is lambano, like we saw in Romans chapter 5 verse 17. Those who continue to receive, those who continue to lambano, to take, to collect actively, those that continue to source grace, to download grace, they are the ones that will reign in life as they stand in the gift of righteousness that they have also received by grace through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then the next big question, which is our focus in our study today, is, so what are the sources of grace? Where can I find grace? And the things I'm sharing with you have been life-changing for me, because, you know, I asked these questions and then the Spirit of God began to provide answers that have been such a help and which I am happy to share. And I found at least 10 sources of grace from studying the scriptures. There may be more, and I'm sure you can do further studies yourself. But the first thing is that God is the source of all grace. So even these 10 sources I'm talking about, it's not like there are 10 independent sources of grace. There are 10 interconnected sources of grace from where we can practically source the grace of God in increasing measure and in greater dimensions for our lives. So God, that's the first one. Let me quickly mention the 10 and then we will go over them, spend some time on each one. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the entrance of your word that gives light. Lord, we ask that as we explore these sources of grace, that we will be motivated, Father, to collect grace, to lambano grace through these avenues and these means of grace, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, gracious Father. Holy Spirit, bring utterance and let there be an impartation of grace into our spirits, even as we undertake this study. In Jesus' name, amen. So, God is the source of all grace. That's the first one. Jesus, the living word, is another source of grace. The word, the written word, is also the word of grace. And then number four, we have the throne of grace. And fifthly, you have the Spirit of grace. And then number six, you have people of grace. And 7, places of grace. Number 8 is attitudes of grace. Number 9 is acts of grace. And the final one, number 10, is articles of grace. Okay, so let's begin with the Father God. God is the source of all grace. We read in Psalm 84, verse 11. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So God gives grace and glory. And the association of grace and glory is established in Scripture. When you read Exodus 33, Exodus 34, you hear Moses said, "If I have found grace in your sight." And then Moses now says, "Show me your glory." So you see the association of grace and glory. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, he says, "But the God of all grace, the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory." Notice again the association between grace and glory. It is the God of all grace that has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. So you see, God is the source of all grace. And this scripture says, after that you have suffered a while, it will make you perfect. It will establish, it will strengthen, and it will settle you. So all of these things, making you, sustaining you through suffering, making you perfect, establishing you, strengthening you, and settling you, they are manifestations of grace, which the God of all grace, the one that called us to his eternal glory. Do you understand what it means that you are called to eternal glory? We are called to eternal glory. And it was grace that did that for us. And it's coming from God, the Father, the author, and the ultimate reservoir of all grace. So it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, he said, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." So you see, God, the eternal Father, gives grace and glory, and is the God of all kinds of grace. The grace of life, the grace of peace, praying grace, financial grace, all sufficient grace, multidimensional grace. But you see, we tap and enjoy this grace as we grow in the knowledge of God. So the more we experientially know the God of all grace, then the more grace we can find. The second one now is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the living word. The living word. The Bible says in John chapter 14, John chapter 1, John 1 verse 14. "And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Full. Jesus is full of grace and truth. And in verse 16 he says, "And of his fullness," out of his fullness, "all of us we have received," lambano, that's the word, "grace upon grace," grace for grace. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." In the Amplified Translation, verse 16 says, "For out of his fullness, his abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, gift heaped upon gift." So you see, all of this is coming out of the fullness of grace that is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, you know, when we share the grace, you know, in church or in fellowship, we say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship or the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So you see, Jesus is the living word, and he is full of grace and truth. And we receive out of his fullness. So the fullness that is resident in the Lord Jesus Christ is boundless and inexhaustible. And listen to this, it is to the fellowship of this fullness that we have been invited. Oh, glory to God. We have been invited to fellowship with his fullness, to become partakers, to become recipients of his fullness. We have been granted access to his fullness. This is amazing. So it means that what will now determine the level of his fullness that we carry and manifest is our fellowship with his fullness. You see, the fullness is present in Christ and we have access to that fullness. But then what will happen to us is what we do with our access to his fullness. Now, the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, what he accomplished on the cross, released an eternal avalanche of grace to all humanity. You see, grace poured and still pours from his cross. Look, I believe that there is nothing good that comes from God to humanity apart from the cross of Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of our sins, divine providence, justification, acceptance before the Father, answered prayers, divine healing. I believe that all of these, they flow to us because of what the living word, our Lord Jesus, has done for us. So, look, I believe that all the great advances in medicine and any discovery that is beneficial to human beings, they are released because of Calvary, because of the cross. You see, to try to end something in the presence of the Father and disconnect the goodness of God in any dimension from the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is not possible under the New Testament. So the more we know Jesus experientially, the more grace is multiplied to us out of his fullness. Amen. So as we fellowship and walk closely with him, we draw from his fullness, from the fullness of his finished work, from what he did for us on the cross, and from the eternal, boundless reservoir of grace that is present in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the third source of grace is the written word of God. The written word of God. You see, because Jesus is the living word, we come to know the living word through the written word. The reason the written word of God was given to us was so that by engaging the written word, we can know the living word. And the living word is the source of all grace. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But the living word communicates the grace of the written word. Or rather, the written word helps us to engage the grace of the living word. You see, somebody will say, okay, Jesus is the author and the source of grace. But where do I find him? How can I connect with him? Ah, there. That is why we were given the written word. So that through the written word, all of us can come to know the living word. I said, through the written word, we come to know the living word. And then, as we engage the written word, the living word meets us. The written word becomes our point of contact with the living word. I'm going to say that again because I believe that's a very important statement. The written word becomes our point of contact. It becomes our place of fellowship where we experience the living word. Listen to Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. The Bible actually calls the word of God the word of his grace. So look what Paul says to these brethren. He says, so now, brethren, he was talking to the Ephesian leaders, elders of the church in Ephesus, when he met with them at Miletus. So Paul says to them, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. It says the word of God, the word of God's grace, is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. So note, by encountering the word of his grace, we are built up. And then we now receive our inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in Christ. So the word of God is a source of grace. The entire gospel itself is called the gospel of the grace of God. For you to understand what I'm sharing about the word of God, do you know that the Bible tells us in Colossians 4:6, it says, let your speech always be seasoned with grace. So let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. And in Ephesians 4:29, we are told, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So you see, our own words are supposed to impart grace to those that hear us. So if our words can impart grace, how much more the word of God? How much more the word of God? The word of God, when we encounter the word, it imparts grace. The grace of life, the grace of deliverance, the grace of revelation, the grace of enlightenment comes to us from the word of God. So it means now that the more you engage the word of God, the more grace you will find. This is very important. That is why the word of God is critical in our quest for grace. The grace that we need to reign in life comes to us as we engage the word of God, as we study the word, as we meditate on the word. Grace pours into our spirit and brings transformation in Jesus' name. The fourth source of grace is the throne of grace. See, how much grace you are going to manifest in life is dependent on what you do with the sources of grace, with the means of grace. The importance of this statement in the triumphant life cannot be overemphasized. If you have sources of grace and you minimize the sources of grace, you cannot find much grace. And so you cannot reign in life. You will be overwhelmed by problems. You'll be overwhelmed by life. Not because that's the plan of God, but because you are not using your access. You are not using your access to the sources of grace. Number four source of grace is the throne of grace. There is a throne where grace can be found. And that's why we are told that in Hebrews 4:14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So now that we have this glorious, gracious high priest, look what we are now told. He said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. We have an invitation to come, not timidly, but boldly to the throne of grace. Why? So that we may obtain mercy and find grace. So where do we find grace? We find grace at the throne of grace. Where do we obtain mercy? We obtain mercy at the throne of grace. What if we don't go to the throne of grace? Will we not find grace? Will we not obtain mercy? See, this is the explanation for why the church is the way the church is. Why we believers, we are the way we are. The reason is because if you don't go consistently to the throne where grace can be found, you will not find grace to help you in your times of need. So the need will look big because you didn't find grace. The need will look impossible because you did not collect grace. The challenge will look overwhelming because, not because it's overwhelming, but because you did not go to the throne where you could have found sufficient grace. I said sufficient grace. The grace that is enough to counteract and to more than counterbalance the weight and the pressure that is coming on your life. Oh God, give us wisdom. Fill our hearts with diligence for the pursuit of grace. Do you know that even in the Old Testament, God gave them a throne of mercy? It was the mercy seat which was on top of the ark. In Exodus 25, 21, 22, God said to them, said to Moses, you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And then in the ark, you shall put the testimony, the Ten Commandments that I will give you. And there, God said, there, from the mercy seat on top of the ark, there I will meet with you. And I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. So God is saying to Moses, when you are going to make the ark of the covenant, the ark was basically a wooden box that was overlaid with gold. And then inside it, God said to Moses, you will put the Ten Commandments, the testimony, the law that I'm going to give to you. And then he said, on top of it, you are going to make the mercy seat. So the mercy seat was actually the covering, the flat covering that was to be placed on the ark. And God said to Moses, make this mercy seat, put two cherubims, basically angels, on each side, with their wings overshadowing the mercy seat. And then God says to Moses, I am going to meet with you from the mercy seat. What is a mercy seat? The mercy seat was a seat. It was a throne. What's a throne? A throne is a seat. So this was God's seat. And God said, I'm going to meet with you from the seat of mercy. Oh, can you imagine God meeting with you from a seat of mercy, not a seat of merit, not a seat of judgment? That's why God invites all humanity to the seat of mercy. The throne of grace is the New Testament equivalent of the seat of mercy, the mercy seat in the Old Testament. And come and hear, we have now been invited to come boldly. Oh, the wonders of the new covenant. Do you know that in the Old Testament, the Israelite could not come boldly to the mercy seat? It was only the high priest that went to that mercy seat, and it was once a year. And that high priest must carry blood. He cannot enter without invitation. Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron, they did it, and fire came out and consumed them. Only the high priest was allowed to step into that place before the mercy seat and to do atonement. But do you know, in the New Testament, every believer, glory to Jesus, because of Jesus, remember when Jesus died, the veil, the curtain in the temple that separated the holy place from the most holy place where the mercy seat was, the curtain was torn from top to bottom, from up to down. Notice the direction. It was not human beings that tore it. That in that case, it would have been torn from down to up. But in this case, it was from up down. It was God himself that rent the curtain and opened the way for all of us to come into the presence of God. That was, significant, because it shows that now, because do you know that on that day in the temple, people saw the ark. Anybody who was in the temple that day saw the ark of the covenant. Oh, glory to Jesus. We now have direct access into the presence of God. And it is to a throne of mercy. It's a throne of merit purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And don't forget that this throne of grace, at this mercy seat, the blood was sprinkled by the high priest. Likewise, the blood of Jesus has been sprinkled on our own mercy seat. And that blood has a voice, and the blood is speaking for us. The blood is speaking answers, is speaking blessing, is speaking benefits, it's speaking deliverance. So imagine now that as a child of God, you are not frequent at the throne of grace. Imagine that you only come to the throne of grace occasionally. You will not find grace to make you to overcome in the issues of life. But now imagine a believer who continues to maximize her access to the throne of grace. It means that there is nothing that can happen in life to which you cannot find an answer, to which God will not be more than sufficient for you. Oh, blessed be God forevermore. Oh, this is amazing. You know, my dear brothers and sisters of the School of Grace, the more we study this thing, the more I see how Christianity works. God gave us access to where we can collect grace. But the problem is that we are too busy. We are running around. We are, you know, we say we don't have time. You don't have time to collect the grace that will help you to reign in life. Oh, what kind of human wisdom is that? So we are struggling with things because we don't want to settle down at the throne of grace. Listen, there is a throne of favor. There is a throne of mercy. There is a throne of grace. And at this throne of grace now, you are not dealing with merit. You are not dealing with what you can do. You don't have to qualify, in quotes, at the throne of grace. You don't. You just need to come. If you come as you are, grace will change you. Grace will help you. Grace will meet you at the point of your need. But those who don't come to the throne of grace, how much grace can they ever find? And don't forget that the blood is speaking. The blood is speaking. Oh, the blood is speaking on your behalf. And that blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Praise the Lord. Now, number five, the Holy Spirit himself is the Spirit of grace. We see that the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of grace in Hebrews chapter 10, 28 to 29. He is called the Spirit of grace. In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, God said, I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the Spirit of grace and supplication. The Spirit of grace and supplication. And they will look on me whom they have pierced. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. So it means that the Holy Spirit is the chief administrator of the grace of God. Whether at the throne of grace or when you engage the word of grace, it is the Holy Spirit by his operations that ministers grace. That's why we are told not to quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. Because he is the Spirit of grace. And if you grieve or quench the Spirit that imparts grace, the chief executive officer that administers the grace of God, if we grieve him, or if we ignore him, or if we don't fellowship with him, where will we find grace? So the Holy Spirit ministers grace to us through the gifts of the Spirit and as we engage the sources of grace. This is very, very, very important. So the more we commune with the Holy Spirit, the more we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, he causes grace to multiply in us and upon us, making the triumphant life possible. You know, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they are gifts of grace. You know, the laying on of hands, the working of miracles is grace. It's grace. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gifts and interpretation of tongues. All of these are gifts of grace. And they are coming from the Spirit of grace. And don't forget that if this same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives inside us, he will also quicken, give life to our mortal bodies, because he dwells in us. So engage the Holy Spirit. The more we spend time, do you know many believers don't realize that we are supposed to talk to the Holy Spirit. Ask for his help. He's the one that has been called the helper. Jesus said, I will send you another helper, another comforter. The Greek word is parakletos. It means the one that has been called alongside to help us. So the more we ask for his help, imagine that you have a helper, but you don't invite the help of your helper. Your helper will not force himself on you. Likewise, the Holy Spirit waits for us to ask for his help. So the more you pray in the Spirit, either in your understanding, but led by the Spirit, or in tongues. One of the things that has blessed me tremendously is praying in tongues. Look, the more I pray in tongues, grace, strength is imparted to my inner man. Ideas, wisdom, insight, revelations, gifts, new songs, and all kinds of things begin to come as we allow the Holy Spirit to flow like a river in and through us. Praise the Lord. Now, number six is people of grace. This is now the chapter 12 of the School of Grace manual. And by the way, you can get the School of Grace manual from the website using the information that we have provided at eternityministries.org at shop. You can get the entire course material for the School of Grace. So the sixth source of grace, means of grace, is what I call people of grace. You see, there are people of grace. And the more you fellowship and relate with people of grace, the more grace you will tap, the more grace you will find, the more grace you will download, the more grace you will receive to help you in your time of need. People of grace. Hallelujah. Let's read the scripture here. This is Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Brother Paul was speaking and he says to them, I am yearning to see you. I am yearning to see you. Brother Paul, why are you yearning to see us? He said, so that I may impart and share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen and establish you. This version said, to give you some grace of the Spirit. I want to see you. But Paul said, all of you in Rome, I really want to see you guys so that I may impart into you. I may share with you. There may be a transfer of grace and spiritual gifts from me into you to strengthen and to establish you. Come and hear what Paul said to them in Romans 15, 28 and 29. Say, therefore, when I finish this and I put my seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go on by way of you to Spain. Now look at verse 29. He said, and I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessings of Christ. See, I know that when I come to you, hey, hallelujah, this man is loaded. This man is loaded. He said, look, I know that when I come to you, I am going to come in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. I am coming. And when I come, I will not be coming empty-handed. I will be loaded when I come. Hey, hallelujah. I will be loaded. This apostle is carrying grace. This man, by virtue of his walk with the Lord, by virtue of his growth in the things of the Spirit, the man is so loaded that he says, don't worry, I'm coming. And when I come, I will impart grace to you. I will pour into you. There will be a transmission from me into you. He's not talking of from heaven now. He said, I will impart into you. See, the impartation will not take place until I come. But when I come, hallelujah. So there are people of grace. There are people that are so loaded. Paul is not saying, you know, when I come, we will pray and then we will see what will happen. No, 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 no. The man is carrying something. The man is loaded with something. And he says, I'm coming with it. And when I come, I'm going to impart grace to you. So the more you fellowship with people of grace, the more grace you are going to find. Hang around people that have grace. There are people that have collected an abundance of grace from the Master. And then they themselves also become sources of grace. Of course, they are not the ultimate source. They are collecting from God, but people are collecting from their lives. Do you know that that is the triumphant life? When we become people of grace, so loaded with grace that other people begin to tap grace. They tap, you know, spiritual grace. Grace of insight, revelation from our lives. The grace of intercession. Do you know that you can impart an anointing into people? An anointing to teach, an anointing to pray, if they hang around you long enough. An anointing for finances. Do you know that you can have so much financial grace that out of the grace that God has blessed you with, other people will find financial grace? I'm talking of grace, the grace of money, the grace of material resources. Oh God, the grace of the working of miracles, the grace of spiritual gifts. These things can be imparted. But they can only be imparted, they can only be received from people of grace. Fellowship with people of grace. Hang around people of grace. Make them your friends. And those kind of people of grace, allow them. When you are with them, don't be discussing. You know, sometimes when you are with people from where you can collect something serious, many believers start discussing something frivolous. Don't discuss something frivolous
with people from whom you can collect something serious. That is a word I'm speaking to you. Instead of, you know, there are some people you can say, ah, you start discussing politics with them, but this man is carrying grace. Why don't you talk about something that will provoke the grace that is inside him to come to you? There are people of grace. And do you know, as you grow in grace, you yourself, you become a man and a woman of grace. And when you speak, grace will come out of you. The Bible said, people wondered at the gracious words that came out of the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Words of grace. Words of life and power. Oh, glory to the Son of God. People of grace. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Let me also say that there are people of disgrace. And they can deplete grace. There are people that, you know, when you are with them, you can just see they are just sucking. They are just, you know, they're like a puncture. Something that punctures a balloon and lets out the grace that has been accumulated inside. Stay away from people of disgrace, except, of course, you are ministering to them. And if they are not open to receive the grace of God in your life, don't waste your time with individuals that promote disgrace. You see, there are people that live lives that are not lives of grace. And we are called to reach out to them, but we must be careful so that we ourselves don't lose the divine deposit. The Bible says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. That's in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Now, number 7, there are places of grace. There are places, and I mean places. There are certain places that if you go there, you will find grace. If you don't go there, of course, you will not get the grace that those that go there find. In Hebrews chapter 10, 24, 25, we read, the Amplified Version says, and let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up and stimulate and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. So you see, the church is a house of grace, as are places where believers come together for fellowship. You see, once you have a place where believers are coming together, because people of grace are gathering, then there must be grace in that place. The place becomes a people of grace, a place of grace rather, because people of grace are gathering in that place. And Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You remember that? So when we gather in his name, the Lord of grace is present. People of grace are present. The Spirit of grace is present. So the place becomes a place where we can source grace. This is why you must fellowship with the brethren. You must fellowship, cultivate, go to places of grace. Go to places where you can tap grace, because the God of grace is present, and, you know, God's people are also present. Remember Psalm 84, it says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. Why is that so? The man now said, I would rather be a doorkeeper and stand at the threshold in the house of my God. Look at your courts, your house. I would prefer to stay there than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Why? He said, because the Lord God is a sun and shield. He will give grace and glory. So notice that grace and glory are found in his courts, in the house of my God. So your place of prayer is a place of grace. If you have a room where you pray, that's a place of grace. If you have a study where you settle down to feast on the word of God, it's a place of grace. If there is a mountain where you like to go to pray, it's a place of grace. If you like to walk, that's also a place of grace. As you undertake those practical activities. So these are avenues from where we can source grace. And those who don't do these things will not find grace. There is something that Jacob said. You remember what Jacob said when he woke up from his dream? This is Genesis 28, 16 to 17. He was running away from Esau. Jacob woke up and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. How awesome is this place? See, I didn't know. God was here, but I didn't know. So, can you imagine that God was in the place? So, there are places where God is present, in his manifest presence. And the more we go to, of course, God is everywhere, but I'm sure you get what I'm saying. There is a place, there are places we encounter God. Those places become places of grace, and we are called to maximize them. There are also, number 8 now, attitudes of grace. Attitudes. There are certain attitudes and dispositions that attract grace, and abundant grace will flow to those who cultivate such attitudes in increasing measure. And we see several of them in the Bible. Humility, for instance, gratitude and thanksgiving, faith, even desperation. These are attitudes. In 1 Peter chapter 5, concerning humility, we read the Bible telling us to humble ourselves. He said, all of you be submissive to one another, be clothed with humility. Why? He said, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud. James also says the same thing in James chapter 4, verse 6. He said, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So what are we supposed to do? He said, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you in due time. So if in history, you see people that even though judgment had been pronounced on them, when they humble themselves, people like Ahab and Manasseh, when they humble themselves, they found grace. Nebuchadnezzar became very proud, but when he humbled himself, he found grace. So humble yourself. Be a man of humility. If you, as a wife, humble yourself before your husband. Humble yourself before the church. As a man, humble yourself before your wife, before your spouse. Be a humble person, not somebody who is arrogant. The more you humble yourself, the more grace you find. Thanksgiving is another attitude of grace. When you give thanks, then you find grace. He said, we should be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So you see, singing that springs from the heart is also something that attracts grace. You just begin to sing a song. Grace, after a while, grace begins to flow. So faith, when you believe God, you attract grace. Romans 4:16 says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. You see, when grace is present, you also need faith to take grace. For example, we are saved by grace through faith. It's grace that saves us, but then we need an attitude of grace to collect faith, to collect grace. So the more we cultivate these attitudes of grace, thanksgiving. Can you imagine that somebody gave you grace, but you have not been grateful for the grace that you received? Can you attract more grace? Of course not. So let's continue to give thanks. Look, there is nothing to complain about in the Christian life. God might not have done certain things, but what about the things that God has done already? He has given you eternal life. Your name is in the book of life. That is already enough to thank God forever and ever. If the only thing that God did was to deliver us from eternity in a lake of fire, that's enough for us to be continually grateful. Glory to God. Now, this brings me to number 9, acts of grace. Acts, practical acts. Actions that attract grace. And the more we do these things, the more grace will we find. Number 1 is prompt obedience. Prompt obedience to God's word and the leading of his spirit. Grace flows in the direction of divine agenda. When we do the will of God, when we flow with God's river, we find grace. You see, the Bible says the rebellious dwell in a dry land. People that are rebellious, they end up with dryness. They don't find grace until they repent. Amen. So, another act of grace is when we show mercy and we extend kindness to other people.
It shows that we are true children of the Father, God. We are children of grace. And when we show grace to other people, we find more grace with our Father. So when we show mercy, we communicate kindness, forgiveness. It's an act of grace. When we give grace, then the King gives us more grace. If you withhold the grace of forgiveness, then that grace will not flow in your direction. When we preach the gospel of the grace of God, because we are bringing grace to people, we find grace. You see, look, for me, just preaching the word of God has attracted so much grace. The more I share, the more the grace of insight and the grace of revelation comes to me also. When we speak words of grace, words that carry grace to other people, we attract more grace. More grace flows through us. When we sing with grace in our hearts, these are attitudes of grace. Giving, sharing all good things with people that teach you the word of God, with other brethren, with God's people. Sharing brings grace. Supporting ministers of the gospel, supporting the gospel, supporting preachers of the word of God, particularly the ones that have left everything to preach the gospel. You become a partaker of their grace. Paul said this to them in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 7. He said, by supporting me and by standing with me in the preaching of the gospel, all of you, you have become partakers of my grace. And they will also be partakers of his reward. Do you know when you give a cup of cold water to a minister of the gospel, to a prophet, a genuine servant of God, because of the name that he carries and the message that the person is preaching, you will not lose your reward. So you are drawing grace by supporting servants of God. I, for instance, I have left everything. I trained as a medical doctor, but for the past, it's about 17 years now, since 2003, I preach the gospel. Of course, medicine is an excellent place, platform from where to preach. And, you know, we teach this when we teach marketplace ministry, that even as a doctor or as, you know, a banker or a lawyer, whatever it is your profession, you can minister the gospel as a businessman or as, you know, a government official or as an educationist, a lecturer, for instance. So medicine is an excellent place. But you see, because of the things I do, I realized that I could not continue active medical practice. So how have I been supported? It's been people, God's people, who are blessed by the word of God. Some of them will give to me. Some will encourage me. Some will pray for me. You see, as they are supporting my preaching of the gospel, they are partakers of my grace. And eventually, whatever reward God will give to me for preaching the gospel, they will also get it. Amen. I don't harass people for money. I don't believe that a preacher of the gospel should be threatening people or manipulating people. But the Bible is very clear that when we support genuine ministers of the gospel, we become partakers of their grace. We attract grace by supporting the gospel. When we give to missionaries, when we give for the advancement of the cause of Christ, we attract more grace. And that grace includes financial grace. That's why it says give and it will be given to you. So when we plant seeds of grace, you see, all of these acts of grace, they are practical seeds of grace that we can plant. And when you plant these seeds of grace, it will come back to you, a harvest of grace. So imagine that for sowing grace, you reap grace, pressed down, shaking together and running over. Oh, wow. I want to plant more grace. I'm looking for, look, I give to missions. I give to preachers of the gospel. Whatever I can do to support the gospel. Because the more I give, the more we lay down all, the more grace we reap. The more grace that comes to us. When we remember the poor, that's another one. Remembering and helping the poor. In Proverbs 19 verse 17, we are told, he that has pity upon the poor lendeth to the Lord, and that which he had given will he repay him again. So when we give to the poor, to those who don't have, widows and orphans, look around you. Are there widows, orphans, people that are underprivileged that you can help? Put some of them in school, help a widow woman to start a small business. You know, people that are orphans, you can adopt. All of these are acts of grace. And when you plant seeds of grace like this, you never know the multi-dimensional grace that God can release upon your life. And another act of grace
is industry, hard work. You see, hard work that maximizes previous grace, whether it is financial grace, spiritual grace, whatever the grace that you have received, if you work hard with that grace, it leads to the multiplication of grace for greater productivity and fruitfulness. You see, failure to account for previous grace that has been released can hinder future release of grace. That's why we are told not to receive the grace of God in vain. Some people think that grace means laziness. You know, when you have grace, you don't have to work hard. No, 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 no. Grace often means, look at Brother Paul. He said, I worked harder than all of them, but it was not me. It was the grace of God that was in me. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. It was grace, but Paul worked hard. Look at all the things the man suffered, the places he went. So when you work hard to develop and deploy, I said, when you work hard to develop and deploy the grace that God has given to you, you attract more grace. You attract more grace. And it becomes a multiplication of grace, exponential grace, because grace comes, he gives you more grace, you do more, you accomplish more, he gives you more grace, you do more, more and more and more grace keeps pouring upon your life. But those who don't use the grace they were given, it will be taken away from them. You remember the servant that went and buried the talent he was given, it was taken away from him. Those people, they become like the Dead Sea. I was in Israel last year, and we visited the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is dead. Nothing grows inside. Nothing alive inside. Why? Because the Dead Sea receives the waters of the River Jordan and other tributaries and wadis. They flow into the Dead Sea, but there is no outlet. The Dead Sea is the lowest place in the world, on the face of planet Earth, or, you know, on the ground. It's the lowest surface there, the Dead Sea. It's minus how many hundreds of meters under sea level. Are you following? So the reason is because it does not give out. There's no life inside. That's what happens to those that receive grace, but they don't give grace and they don't use grace. So when we do these acts, practical acts of grace, we are planting seeds of grace, and there will be a harvest of more grace. There are also acts of disgrace. There are people of disgrace. There are places of disgrace. There are attitudes of disgrace. There are acts that bring disgrace. And you don't want anything like that near your life. Now, the final source of grace is very interesting. And that is articles of grace. Things now, practical things, articles from where we can collect grace. So there are inanimate articles that carry grace in diverse formats. Books. Do you know your Bible is an article of grace? The Bible is not a talisman that you put under your pillow, you know, like that. But it's a book. It's an article. Notice your Bible is a physical object, but you can get grace inside. There are books from where you can tap grace. There is Christian music. There are teaching tapes, messages, audio CDs, MP3s from Christian television, posters, artwork. All of them can become reservoirs of grace from where you can mine grace. Some people, you know, get CDs of messages of men of God and other teachers. Some people buy our music CDs or message CDs, and they get grace. They are so blessed. One brother listened to one CD that he got of a message that we preached, and he became a missionary. I was teaching on the kingdom, and this brother, after he understood the kingdom of God and the priority of the king, he said to himself, what else am I living for? I'm going to lay down my life to serve the king. That grace of insight came to him from a CD. And some of these articles, do you know your cell phone can be an article of grace or an article of disgrace, depending on how you use it? You can use your iPad to attract grace by putting things of grace, messages, you know, Christian themes and other things into your portable electronic devices. And grace will be coming as you maximize these mediums. Grace, maybe you are driving or you are cooking or you are taking a walk. You plug the thing to your ear as you are washing and doing other chores, and grace is pouring into your spirit. No wonder people like Paul and Daniel, they were friends of books. Paul told Timothy, he said, when you are coming, bring those books, especially the parchments. And Daniel, chapter 9, verse 2, the Bible tells us that Daniel discovered by books. He was reading the book of Jeremiah, and he saw the truth that they were to stay for only 70 years in Babylon. This was year 69, and Daniel began to pray. What if he didn't read the book? No wonder the Bible tells us to buy the truth and not to sell it. You can actually do this literally. That scripture is in Proverbs 23:23. Blessed be God forevermore. So, articles of grace. We have a lot of books on our website that you can buy. You can buy the soft copy. We have our book, The Indwelling. There are other books by other servants of God. And you can download grace from articles, physical articles of grace. Oh, blessed be God forevermore. So, there are also articles of disgrace. There are enemies of grace. There are books too, magazines, you know, websites, DVDs, videos, things that are accursed. And we must never bring them near our house because they attract disgrace. In fact, there are articles. I want to encourage you to search your house. There are occult materials that when people bring it into their house, it drives away the presence of God and it will not allow them to receive grace. There are videos, there are films. Search your house, search your devices. If any of those harbingers of disgrace, things that attract disgrace, if they are present in your life or in your family, remove them, destroy them, break them to pieces, tear the books, burn them, put them in the fire, so that the grace of God can flow freely in your direction. Now, I have taken time to explain these sources of grace. This is powerful. You see, these things I'm sharing with you, God revealed them to me. I didn't know them. I've never seen them like this. God, where can I find grace? Where can I find grace? The Lord began to reveal these things to me. That God himself is the God of all grace. Jesus, the living word, the word of his grace. That the more I engage the word of God, the more grace I can find. The more I spend time praying in tongues, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, the more grace I can find. The more I fellowship with people of grace, and I myself become a person of grace, the more grace I can find. Places of grace, attitudes of grace, acts of grace, and articles of grace. You see, my people, we have a saying, I am from the southeastern part of Nigeria, in West Africa. And then we have a saying, you know, my people, they say, when you tell a poor person what it takes to become rich, he will tell you, please just leave me with this poverty. In other words, when you show a poor person the price of wealth, the price of getting rich, the person will prefer to stay in his poverty. So you see, his real problem is not that he doesn't have money. His real problem is that there is no motivation to pay the price to achieve wealth. See, I know that some believers say, is this what I have to do to collect this grace? Well, the only option is a life of disgrace. The only option is a defeated life. And I don't want that. I hate an ordinary life. I hate an ordinary life with passion. I hate a life of struggle. I hate it. And now that God has revealed to me where I can source the triumphant grace that will enable me to reign in life, I will not quit. I will not stop. I am engaging this means of grace. I'm spending time in the presence of God. I'm praying. I pray in tongues. I'm reading my Bible. I am fellowshipping with deep friends, people that are loaded. When I am down, I can call one of them. They will counsel me, speak with me, and after fellowshipping with them, grace pours into my spirit. Wow. This is powerful. I want you to maximize these sources of grace and watch what will happen to you if you will not grow in exponential grace. And as you do, you will reign in life. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this word of wisdom. Father, this is more than a sermon. It's a word of wisdom. And we receive it from you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we now ask that your Holy Spirit will provoke us inside, never to rest, not to keep quiet, not to be slothful, but followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Holy Spirit, brood upon these words and cause them to produce fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. Please, please listen to this message over and over again. Share with other people. Study this matter. Teach it in your church. And let's start a grace revolution that will bring blessing to a world in need. Bye-bye.
Lord of the land and Lord of the sea.